Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna, and today we are speaking to Dr. Sheila D. Williams. Dr. Sheila Williams is going to be talking to us today about the topic, Nothing is Impossible, Turning Life's Challenges into Opportunities of Self-Discovery and Personal Success. So stay tuned. You are in for a treat. Now, in keeping with the theme of my show, I always like to start off by giving you a tip of the week that coincides with my guest. So since we are going to be talking about nothing is impossible and self-discovery and personal success, I wanted to give you a tip of always finish the race. Don't be a quitter. I was in church a couple of Sundays ago, and the pastor had a very, very nice message. It was the topic, go all the way through. Come all the way through. Don't stop in the middle. Don't turn back. Just come all the way through. You see, life is like a swim trip. You can't stop in the middle of the lake, or you will sink. You either keep going or you turn back. So let's say that you are a distance swimmer. You set out on a journey to swim across Lake Ontario, for instance. You know, I lived in Toronto for a while, and people were always swimming the lake, so I chose that one. The trip is going to take you 2 days and two nights. You start out, and after about 30 hours or so, the weather gets bad, the waves are high, you start to cramp up, you have a decision to make. Do you quit? Do you turn back? Or you keep going? Now, remember, you're in the middle of the lake, so you just can't stop. You have to turn back, get out of the water. So that's exactly how life is. When you begin on your journey to achieve your goals, you can't predict the weather. You can't predict the storms that are going to be coming your way. And you know they will come. So what you have to do is make a decision up front to keep going no matter what. Come all the way through. You see, God planted that dream in you for a reason. He has something for you to do. And He will stay with you all the way through. So just keep moving forward. Even if it seems like you're just treading water, going back is death to your dreams. So I hope you got a little bit of encouragement from that. You know, the word always reaches you at your point of need. So maybe it came to you right as you were thinking, like, life is really hard, that I want to quit. But it does get easier. So now let me tell you about our guests. Dr. Sheila Williams has over 20 years of successful professional experience. She is an independent consultant with her company, SW Consultant Services, LLC, a mental health therapist counselor, a behavior analyst, a published author, life coach, and educational director. She also has an extensive educational background, a BA in psychology with a minor in sociology, an MA in counseling, and a PhD in leadership and education. After caring for her mother, who suffered from clinical depression and multiple cirrhosis, Dr. Williams decided to pursue her education and career in the mental health field. She remained in the social service industry for over 10 years. She then saw the correlation between at-risk students in social emotional disorders and decided to make the transition to higher education administration. By doing so, she served as a catalyst for educational reform and sees every day as an opportunity to touch someone's life in a positive way. Having dealt with the responsibility of caring for her mother who had depression, and having once been told by her high school guidance counselor that college was not for her, she would not take no for an answer. Dr. Williams turned what could have been a challenge into an opportunity to prove that, yes, you can. Dr. Williams has a natural love for life and finds joy in helping others to reach their fullest potential. She believes in taking adversity and turning it into an opportunity to propel oneself to the next level. Dr. Williams is an avid reader and enjoys traveling, writing, researching, and spending time with her family and friends. She often is encouraged by those who can't believe her story. So with that, she decided to write her autobiography. In her first book of its three-part series, My Mother's Keeper, Dr. Williams gives you an introduction into her life, the mystery, the challenges, and the truth behind what motivated her to persevere and accomplish all the things she set out to do. It has been suggested and now has become a goal that her book and life story be made into a documentary. Dr. Williams continues to write, serve as a life coach, and a motivational speaker. Her second book will be released in 2017, and she's working on the completion of her third book, a children's book. Dr. Williams continues to live her life as an inspiration to others. Well, welcome, Dr. Sheila Williams. Welcome
Thank
to the Mind
you.
To Transformation. Welcome to the Mind to Transformation show. I am very impressed with your accomplishments, and I'm also very, very impressed that you try to make a difference in the world and is inspired to do so. So
Thank
awesome.
You.
You're very welcome. All right. So let's dive right in. Now, I know you have a really, you know, powerful story. But let me ask you, your first book, My Mother's Keeper, what is the book about and what inspired you to write the book?
Well, the book is about my mother. It is a very candid look into my life and me caring for my mother. It took me definitely 40 plus years to get to the point where I finally decided to tell my story. And in telling my story, I also tell my mother's story. It was not initially something that we spoke about to keep a family secret, but we did not talk about the fact that my mother had clinical depression. And I find that so many people in, you know, my professional and in my personal life may be dealing with things that they choose not to talk about for one reason or another. They choose not to disclose it because they may feel like they are the only ones who are dealing with this. And that's the way that I felt for a very long time in my life. And so at the point where I decided to go ahead and be very candid and very transparent about my life, it was for the purpose of healing, not only for myself, but for anyone else who has dealt with anything that they may have been ashamed about, or maybe felt that someone was going to judge them about, or maybe even look at them differently if they disclosed these things. So I feel that, I felt that at that point it was necessary for me to tell my story to be a source of hope and healing for so many others who may be experiencing something similar or maybe something totally different, anything that is keeping you from being able to move on or being able to live your life fully may be a hindrance to you. So that is why I decided to be very transparent about my life. And rather than put it all in one book, because obviously we go through different stages and different experiences within our lives, I decided to write specifically about my mother and her clinical depression and me as a small child and, you know, a young woman and then into adulthood, how I dealt with it and how I, you know, was her keeper. I cared for her from a very young age. Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is a powerful story. And as I listen to you, you know, it's I can't help seeing the similarities to my life and my story. But you know, it's very interesting. You know, I wrote a book called Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement. And I, too, was very transparent. I, too, talked about things that I never talked about. Yeah, my situation was being sexually abused as a child. And I talked about that in my book, and I talked about a couple of other things that I felt that I was being ashamed about. And, you know, the reason I wrote mine is so that you can clean the slate.
Right.
Not, you know, people always get inspiration from somebody that has gone through something and succeeded, and now look where you are. Of course, you're a doctor. So they look at your story as a story of success, and it's glad, you know, the fact that you were sharing and you showed them the dark side and how there could be light. But the other way, the reason that I did mine is so that in order for God to work with you, you have to get rid of all that stuff. You know
That's
what I mean?
True.
And you have to get rid of all that stuff. You have to be transparent. You have to put it out there, because
that's
if you feel ashamed of it, then the devil uses that. Right.
That's
true. And that's basically what I did. And in how I wrote my story, it touched so many people. Everybody that reads my book is touched, because as a woman and as a child and the things you go through, relationships and all that stuff, everybody can identify with certain parts of it. And I absolutely love it. And transparent is the word that they use. So congratulations on that. And we all know that God gives you a test for a testimony. So that's the cliche version of it. But He doesn't give you a test so that you keep it to yourself. You share it with others and you give them hope and encouragement, which is part of the title of my book, Hope and Encouragement. So that's awesome. I think you touched on this briefly just now, but how difficult was it to be transparent about your life and your family's secrets and the taboo subject of your mom's mental illness?
Well, I tell you, I have been transparent with every other aspect of my life. Well, I should say most other aspects of my life, other than this, which is a very large piece of my life. Obviously, it's my mother. So, you know, it was difficult in the sense that I could not write the book without obviously including other members of my family and talking about a topic that not only affected my mother, but it affected me and it affected everybody else that was in, you know, that's a part of my family. So, you know, it comes with a bit of, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe, you know, I will play it safe and not do this. But I felt that I had been playing it safe for 40 plus years. And it was time for, again, not only my healing, but the healing of others. And after I wrote the book, I realized that I had done the exact thing that I should have done. At the very moment that I should have done it was when I did it. So I always tell people at the very moment that you are in, the very place that you're in your life, that is absolutely where God wants you to be right then and there.
That is so awesome. Sure.
It was difficult at times, but in the process of writing it. But then once I was done, I knew it was like a sense of relief that it was exactly done at the moment that it needed to be written.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, I also get a word, courageous, because you have to be courageous to go against, you know, your inner safeness. You know,
you have to
put it out there and be courageous. So, yeah, that was a courageous thing to do. And after you have done it, then, yeah, you feel invincible. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick station break, and we're going to be right back with Dr. Sheila. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna, and today we are speaking with Dr. Sheila D. Williams. And Dr. Sheila was telling us in the first segment of her show why she felt the need to write a book that will give others hope and encouragement while being transparent to her family issues and dynamics. So, you know, she was telling us that God wanted her to write this book, and as she wrote it, that she realized that that was the exact thing to do. So as we go into our second segment, we are going to dive a little deeper, and I'm going to ask you, what did you hope to accomplish from writing your autobiography? I know you mentioned, you know, earlier in one of your in the first segment that you wanted to, it took you 40 years to decide to do it. So what exactly did you want to give the people that are reading your audience, that is reading your book, with your story?
Yes, like you mentioned before, you know, people will often see you whether professionally or personally, and they'll see, you know, maybe the home that you live in, or they see, you know, the doctorate degree or the position that you hold with the company you work for, or, you know, they see the success. They see, you know, the success and all the things that you have accomplished, but they don't realize behind the scenes anything that you may have gone through, the obstacles, the trials, the tests, you know, we have testimonies from these tests that we have in life. So, you know, I had not actually shared my testimony. And, you know, I have had people in different professional settings say to me, whether it be clients or students or, you know, colleagues, and they say, well, you know, Dr. Williams, you wouldn't understand. And I say to myself, if they only knew, you know. So it's very, you know, much along the lines that you hear the cliche or you hear the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. So, you know, you see someone with the professional title and you see these accolades and all of the things that they've accomplished, but you have no idea the struggle or the obstacles in which they've had to overcome to get to where they are. So, I wrote the book for numerous reasons, and one of the reasons was because of that, to see the accomplishments that I have made, but then for you to understand what propelled me to get to the point where I am now and what encouraged me. Where did I receive this hope from? Obviously from God, but what was the fuel behind me wanting to accomplish one thing after the other? So in spite of all of the trials and the tribulations, the obstacles, all of the tests, then to see my success, it holds a little bit more value, and you are then more appreciative to understand, wow, she worked four jobs to pay for her doctorate degree, and while simultaneously caring for her, you know, mother who was terminally ill, that puts a little bit more of an understanding behind, wow, she got her doctorate degree while still doing all of that. So, you know, to show someone that even in the midst of the trials or the tribulations, you can still accomplish whatever goal that you have, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, you can still accomplish those goals.
Oh, wow. That is powerful. That is an extremely powerful statement that you just made, because most, you know, let's you know, put it in a little box. You know, there's single mothers out there that have to do so much, and they don't have the spirit to do it because they think that, you know, that that's just their burden. But here you're saying that you looked after your mom, which is just like a mother looking after her children, and you worked four jobs, and you still did it. So I'm going to ask a question. So what was your motivation? How did you find the strength to push through? Did you have a vision? I mean, why did you persevere?
It was a combination of things. First of all, you know, from a very young child, when you have, you know, at 4, 5, 6 years old, we did not know that my mother had clinical depression. We just knew she was a little bit different than, I knew she was different than the other kids in the neighborhood. Moms, you know, they were very, you know, other parents were very outspoken. And my mother, some days she would not get out of bed. Other days, you know, she would not open the blinds. It was dark in the home. Some days she was not. So, you know, you know about depression, some days are good days and some days are not so good. So without it being appropriately diagnosed, you know, there were a lot of days that were not good for her. And with that, that's one way in which I delved myself into my education was reading and to keep myself busy that way, reading and writing and just, you know, at a very young age, just becoming, you know, that overachiever. I really enjoy education. And, you know, I just want, the more I learned, the more I wanted to know. And it just continued up until, you know, high school and then into college. And then it was just like kind of a natural progression. So you have this quest for knowledge, and I had the quest for accomplishment. So it was, okay, I got a B, and now I want an A. And I have an A, and now I want to be in an honors class. And now I'm in this honors class. Can I do dual enrollment and go to college while I'm in high school? So it was, you know, just one thing after the other. And so it continues, even now it still continues, you know, so the thing was that obviously I knew that my mother and my father, they loved us, all of their children. They loved me and I loved them just the same. So there's a point where you want to obviously make your parents proud, but then there's also the intrinsic motivation where, you know, you want to, you know, I wanted to accomplish these things for myself. I wanted to, you know, find, you know, personal and professional accomplishment from the goals that I had set out for myself. But then even in such, every position, every, you know, thing that I do, I find much joy and accomplishment in helping others. So even in writing the book, I write the book for anyone. As I put in the book, that I write the book for anyone who is in need of healing, anyone who is going through anything. So, you know, I think that it is, well, I know that this is in the Bible where it says, you know, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So as we give, in our giving, we receive blessings from the gifts that we give. So in every, you know, the mental health counseling field as well as the education field, which have been my two fields of expertise, in both of those fields, I am constantly giving. And in the giving, I am then being blessed. So that has been the entire moral of my entire life, my entire being. And for that, I am blessed.
Okay, that is awesome. So you're one of those beautiful children that all mothers want to have. You were self-motivated.
Oh my goodness.
You were self-motivated from a child
I was.
To be an
I
overachiever.
Was.
Wow. That is, you know, that overachiever word, you know, I was in sales and the, you know, sales managers are all looking for the overachievers because it is a characteristic.
Right,
and,
right.
It is a characteristic, and apparently you have been blessed with it. So that was awesome. So great. Love that story. And, of course,
thank
yes,
you.
You know, when you give and you find it being your purpose, you give and then you do receive, you know, and you're planting that seed and it comes right back to you. It's just a beautiful thing. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's very interesting. You mentioned something earlier about you're writing the book about you and your mom, but there's also some family members that was involved in the book. Did you receive any backlash from any of your family members for putting your story out there? You know, you wanted to be transparent, but maybe your brothers and sisters didn't feel that way. How did they respond to your book?
Not really. You know, I tell the story from my perspective. So, you know, I always tell people that you have to understand that, you know, you can have 3, 4, 5 people experience the same or witness the same thing. But the experience for those 3, 4, 5 people could most likely be 3, 4, 5 different experiences. So you will ask them to say, write or even verbalize what it is they saw, what it is that they actually experienced. And more than likely, you will get 3, 4, or 5 different stories. So this is my autobiography, and this is my life and my relationship with our mother and, of course, my father, partially is in this book, but mainly my mother. So these are my experiences, and this is the way in which I saw and experienced, and this is the way in which I verbalize what I experienced. So if you were to ask my brother or my sister to write their autobiographies, they may be quite different. So I did not receive very much backlash at all, quite honestly, because they understand that it is my perspective and these are my experiences. So I'm thankful for that.
Wow. You know, a lot of people are not open to that.
Right.
Because they always want to judge and they want to criticize. And it's very interesting. But I was looking at an episode yesterday with Melissa McCarty, and she's writing a book regarding her husband's two sisters. And one sister is telling a story of doom and gloom and horrible, and the other sister saying, that's not true. I didn't that's not true. None of these things happened. I had a glorious childhood. What are you talking about? And it's very interesting, and you're very
right.
A lot of people don't understand that. They would say, hey, you know, my husband, you know, he's totally different from brothers and sisters, and he would say, well, we all grew up in the same house. We both had the same parents. How can one person be this way and the other person be? And they don't understand. It's all separate. It's your experiences, and you experience things from your own filters, right?
Right.
And not a lot of people feel that way. They feel that if you grew up in the same house, you had the same parents, then you should have the same experiences and the same views about it. So
right,
very good. So you guys are more in a higher spiritual plane than most. But good. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So are you currently working on any other projects? I know you mentioned briefly a minute ago that you're still an overachiever.
I am. I forced myself to turn it off.
You've gone all the way to PhD. So what's above that? What's more for you?
Well, I'm really into the writing right now. So I have another book, the second book in my 3-part series of this autobiography that I'm doing. The second book is more so about my father. That is a very interesting book with a totally different, different spin, because my relationship with my father is a bit different than the relationship that I had with my mother. So that will be very interesting. And that one will be out in the spring of 2017. And, of course, you read in my bio that I am also working on a children's series as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
okay.
But the next book will be out in 2017. And, of course, I continue to do the speaking, motivational speaking engagements. I just did a speech at a breast cancer banquet last weekend at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, Florida. And then this weekend I will be speaking with the National Association of Professional Women here in Atlanta. So I stay busy with those speaking engagements.
Mm-hmm. I belong to that organization. That's who sponsored my book, Out of the Snares. So that is
oh, nice.
That is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is great. So you are a motivational speaker. You have your own business. You're the CEO of Selfless Consulting. How have you been able to accomplish all this in spite of the obstacles and challenges that you've faced? I know you touched on that briefly. Do you
right.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, if I'm not doing 2, 3, 4, or 5 different things simultaneously, I kind of get bored.
Wow.
And, you know, I've been doing it for so long now that
yeah.
it has become,
oh,
you know,
goodness.
Second nature for me. Yeah.
Yeah. 4 jobs, huh?
Yes, I worked 4 jobs. At times it was 3, but there was a point
wow.
that there were 4 jobs in there when I was, because
oh,
I didn't
goodness.
Want to have student loans or anything like that. So I
oh,
paid
okay.
for my doctorate degree out of pocket. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. I'm pretty sure that you have a lot to offer in a motivational speaker in a conference. But I know
Thank
there was
you.
Something I wanted to ask you a minute ago. You mentioned that your relationship with your father is very different. I know mm-hmm. I haven't read your book, My Mother's Keeper, but you know I can because spirituality is something that, you know, built with intuition. So I think I can understand that relationship and caring and whatever. So mm-hmm. you want to give us a little taste of how your father handled your mom's depression and how that affected the chemistry in the house? Or
Oh, yeah.
Quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say that, you know, with the clinical depression with my mother, it affects every individual, you know, differently. So
mm-hmm.
A bit of her personality was that she was already, you know, just an introverted person. So she was, you know, a little shy. So with her mm-hmm. clinical depression, that took that introversion to another level. So she did
mm-hmm.
not have a lot of friends outside of the home. She didn't talk very much. She had no activities that she really was engaged in. But my father was a social butterfly. So he had hundreds of friends. Yes. Complete opposite.
I did not expect that one.
Yes, complete opposite. He talked often. He was a jokester, and he had a lot of friends, very well known in the community, very active in the church. So yes, very very outspoken man. Yes.
So mm-hmm. obviously, what I'm getting again, intuition wise, his wife's illness did not affect him. Much.
It affected him as well in a different way. It motivated him to definitely want to, and I speak about it in my mother's mm-hmm. keeper. He wanted to make sure that she was well taken care of. So he and I mainly were the ones who were making sure that she was taken care of emotionally and every other way. Even, you know, in her last days, he cared for her. Even while he was, you know, he was working and, you know, in the middle of the day, come home and check to make sure she was okay and, you know, just making sure that she was all right.
So, sweet.
Yeah, definite love story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. definitely, that's awesome. Okay, well, just going to ask you one more question before we go to break. Why do you believe that so many people suffer in silence and choose not to seek professional counseling when they are going through their storms?
Well, I think that, you know, it could be a combination of reasons. I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, unfortunately still a lot of people see mental health as this taboo topic. It's a taboo yes. subject. No one wants to really mention that they see a psychiatrist or a psychologist or quote unquote a shrink. It's still you know, frowned upon or mm-hmm. like, what's wrong with you, you know,
yeah.
kind of thing. So it's certainly in different cultures it's I would say worse, more taboo than others, but
mm-hmm.
I still don't believe that a lot of people feel comfortable mentioning that they're receiving counseling or they're seeing a therapist. So at times they may be very reluctant to even go to the doctor or even take their medication if they have
mm-hmm.
been prescribed medication for whatever mental illness they are suffering from. So, you know, it's the fear of being judged. It's the fear that definitely in a professional environment, if someone were to find out that, you know, you're suffering from, a mental disorder, you know, you may be frowned upon or may not receive the promotions that you should receive because they may think that you're unstable. You know, so there's so many reasons why, you know, people tend to suffer in silence. And it's very sad because I think that if you don't feel comfortable or you don't have the support, unfortunately, people suffer alone and they don't have that support. And we, you know, we see, unfortunately, that some, you know, commit suicide because they become so depressed that they find no way out. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if I can provide assistance or, again, bring hope to someone by me telling my story, that's the reason why I wanted to make sure that I did that, because it was at times, you know, a bit of a challenge to have a mother that, you know, kids were asking me, like, what's wrong with your mom? You know, why does your mom act this way? Why does she not come here and there and whatever? You know, so it was a lot of pressure. They didn't know that those questions were pressuring me and causing me to feel
hurtful.
A certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just the questions like, well, what with your mom, you know? But at the same time, you know, as a child, definitely as a young child, I didn't know what she had. We didn't know what she had.
Right.
So I couldn't even really answer the question. I'm like, I don't know, you know? Yeah. So then you get, okay, is she... like, what's going on, you know? So it is so many things as to, I think there's so many reasons why, you know, people tend to suffer in silence. It could be that they just don't know what it is going on with them, but they're in fear of even going to the doctor. Some people are afraid to go to the doctor for the fear of what they may find out. So, you know, so there's numerous reasons, but I just want to provide the hope that you can seek the help. And for those that have family members that may be acting a little differently or they may have concerns for, I encourage you to go to the doctor with them because they will need that support.
Well, that's very true because we, you know, it's now, I mean, it could be me, but I think that, you know, everybody talked about depression, getting anxiety drugs and, you know, Prozac and things like that, but they never equated it to a mental illness. But now we know that depression is part of, you know, if you're depressed, then, you know, something is wrong. And now they're seeing that if depression is not treated, then, yeah, there is a very high rate of suicide. So, so in the olden days, you're right, when someone says that you have a mental illness, they're thinking of a totally different, you know, person. I personally would think of somebody you just see walking the streets or something like that, right? But,
right.
So that's where the taboo came from. But, yeah, it's just a chemical imbalance, correct?
Exactly.
It's just a chemical imbalance. So there's nothing to taboo about it. It's just it's good to, you know, encourage you know, our listeners that it's better to get the help, it's better to feel good, because I know that depression is, like you said, your mom wouldn't get up out of bed and wouldn't, you know, open the blinds or anything like that, because that's what it is. You know, I've known a lot of people that are depressed, and they wake up in the morning and they want to die because they're you know, they just don't, they feel so much, in so much pain. So you don't have to live like that. You just go get some help, right? So
Exactly. You're right.
Yes. So so that's what we're saying. Just go get help. There's nothing wrong. There's no stigma attached. You will feel much better. Okay, so let's take a quick station break, and we will be right back with Dr. Sheila. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna, and we have been speaking with Dr. Sheila D. Williams. We can also call her Superwoman. She's accomplished quite she's accomplished quite a lot of things in her life, an overachiever, and super motivated, an author, speaker, a mental health counselor. So as we go into the final minutes of her show, Dr. Sheila, if you're able to tell the viewers one thing, what would you tell them? What would it be?
I would tell them that nothing is impossible. Nothing.
True. That's our topic today.
Nothing is impossible. So, you know, you mentioned that my high school guidance counselor told me that college was not for me. So, okay, so you say that college is not for me. He encouraged me to pursue the military. I took the entrance exam for the ASVAB. I signed up for the ASVAB test and scored relatively high on that. So I had all these recruiters calling me, trying to get me into the military. So I obviously did not go in the military. I wanted to go to college. So, you know, although someone may tell you no, or you can't, or that's not possible, don't believe them. If there is something that you want to accomplish and achieve, I don't care what it is, there is a hope, there is possibility, and anything that you want to do, you can achieve it. So if there's something you want to do, just think about that thing that you want. Whatever it is that you want to accomplish, and I say go for it. Because everything that I have wanted to accomplish, I have accomplished thus far. There have been trials and tribulations along the way. It may not have happened as quickly or as soon as I wanted it to happen. It may have been a project that I wanted to happen in a year and it took me 8 years. But, you know, you may have to take a break and come back to it.
But you can
accomplish anything that you want to accomplish. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, I think of a couple of things. First of all, when you're talking about that, I see how my tip of the week ties into that statement. Yeah, you're swimming a long distance race and, you know, storms come up and you're thinking of turning back or quitting, but go right through. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come back to it. Mm-hmm. And as you were also talking, I remember Les Brown, because he has a story like that. His guidance teacher told him that he was learning disabled, and that he wouldn't be able to accomplish anything. And now he talks about the fact that he's a millionaire many times over. But his story is similar to that, because he was, you know, they told him he couldn't learning disabled. And that, you know, be a carpenter or something, I think they told him that he wouldn't. You know, learning was not for him. Yeah, the teachers, I don't know why guidance counselors tell teachers things like that, but I've been hearing this story so many times where they tell them that they can't do this and they just should do something else. And what it does is actually motivates you to do just that.
that's what somebody tells you
things you can't do. Yeah, that's also amazing. So what do you want your legacy to be?
You know, just that, you know, again, that anything is possible. Nothing is impossible. That, wow, you know, my father had a sixth grade education. My mother suffered from clinical depression. At the age of 10, I was cooking my own meals and pretty much taking care of my own self. And, you know, I had no money. I paid my way through college. I have no student loans. Imagine that, with a doctorate degree. You know, and anything that you want to do you can accomplish it. You know, I just want to be able to touch lives in a positive way, and I want to live life to the fullest. And in living life to the fullest, I think that for me, that means that those in which I encounter, people that I meet, whether professionally or personally, I want them to say that I touch them in a positive way. And I want my books to be a lifelong legacy of me and how I live my life, and for, you know, to be read by, you know, those who suffer in silence, for those who want to give hope to others, for those who have accomplished and maybe not have, you know, have had the opportunity or chosen not to tell their own story, but to find, you know, that hope and that gratification in reading my story. It helps them to be able to heal, because I find that a lot of people are not, you know, they're not healed. They're hurting, or they're suffering because of secrets or, you know, past pain and past hurt. But, you know, sometimes even if you are still not comfortable telling your own story, if you read the story of someone else, it can bring some healing to you. So that is the only legacy that I want to leave. Yes.
Yes, that's awesome. And the children's book is going to be very inspirational too, because a lot of times children form, they get their passion and their drive from some inspiration. You know, it's you don't want to be 50 and now getting the inspiration. A lot of times it's good if you train the child, train their mind early, make it pliable, let them realize that even though they might be in a situation where, like you were in, where you're looking after yourself, your mom is not capable, you don't have a lot of money, you know, a child in that situation might think, hey, you know what, I'm not going to be able to do anything. Maybe I'm going to be working at McDonald's or something for the rest of my life. And, you know, there's no hope for me. And then they see that that's where you were from, and you're now a doctor and doing all that, or you can even become president or something. And that is, you know, why Barack Obama's story is so unreal. And, you know, that gives hope to a lot of children that, you can be anything you want. So
exactly.
Yeah, so you just have to put your mind to it. And I also like the fact that you said, you know, you give things a time, but God doesn't work in your time. You give something a time, and also something you said in the beginning of people might think that your success is they see the title and they see that you've got the success.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know your struggle, and it reminds me of something I read about Kevin Hart, that people are saying he's an overnight success, but it took him 19 years to become an overnight success. All the things that he went through, and now he made $85 million this last year at a top entertainer.
Oh, wow.
But he, you know, he had to go through all that, and he didn't stop, right?
Right.
You know, think about it. He's a short guy, a short man, and people disrespected him, and then, you know, he was black and all that. But he kept going, he kept getting better, kept learning, and now everywhere you go, there's a Kevin Hart. It's amazing.
Right.
True. 19 years to be an overnight success, so that's awesome. Well,
wow.
I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, because we're in the same space. We're in the space of giving hope and encouragement to, you know, people that we come into contact with, either through the radio program or speaking or coaching or you know, we're leaving something positive behind, and that is always good. You're right. It does bring blessings right back to you when you give. So thank you so much for sharing your story with me and my audience.
Thank you.
Now, how can my audience get in touch with you if they want to hire you for speaking or to get a copy of your book?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say the one-stop shop would be my website. If you go to
www.drsheilabwilliams.com.
Okay. It's my name, drsheilabwilliams.com, no spaces, no periods. And so it's drsheila, B as in David, and then Williams.com. And it will have my email address, my contact for my phone number, and then also if you wanted to purchase the book, there is a link on there for you to just hit that link, and it'll take you directly, I believe, to maybe even Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But the book is available pretty much everywhere. If you go through the website, you can contact me, and it'll have all of my information there.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. And if they want to hire you for a speaker, you have a link there as well?
Yes, definitely. My email address and my contact number where you can reach me at is available on that website, drsheilabwilliams.com. Mm-hmm.
drsheilabwilliams.com. Awesome.
D.
Now, My Mother's Keeper is a book that you should read. It has a lot of, I'm pretty sure, has a lot of inspirational messages for you as to how you can become successful in spite of your circumstances. So, again, we thank you for tuning in. My website, if you wanted to contact me to be either to be a guest on the show or to get a copy of my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, or if you wanted any kind of coaching, one-on-one coaching, I still do that. My website is www.myrnayounghelps. That's MyrnayoungHelps.com. If you wanted to get a listen to this show again, it will be on my YouTube channel. Just search under My Helps, which is MyHelps. And you can also get a listing of all my other shows. They are on my YouTube channel. So once again, thank you for tuning in to the Mindset Transformation Show. We are here every week at the same time, 5 o'clock, where I will bring you exciting, inspirational guests like Dr. Sheila. So have a good night.